Good morning, and welcome to Tech News Briefing, your daily dive into the most compelling stories shaping our digital world. I'm Arjav, your host. Before we jump into today's headlines, let's mark a fascinating moment in history. On this very date, March 21st, 2 decades ago in 2006, a simple message was posted that would fundamentally alter how we communicate. Jack Dorsey sent the very first tweet, reading, "Just setting up my Twitter." From that humble beginning, a global phenomenon was born, connecting billions and changing the landscape of information sharing. That spirit of innovation, connection, and disruption is exactly what we'll explore today. We've got a packed agenda, covering everything from the latest in AI chips and software advancements to pressing industry ethics and even a remarkable comeback story from space. We're drawing our insights from top sources like TechCrunch, Ars Technica, Hacker News, and more, bringing you the most crucial developments. Arohi, it's great to have you with us today to unpack these stories.
Thanks, Arjav. Pleasure to be here. We have some truly groundbreaking news to discuss, particularly in the realm of artificial intelligence and its expanding influence across various sectors.
Absolutely. And speaking of AI, let's kick things off with what's arguably the foundational element of this revolution, the chips. Amazon Web Services recently gave an exclusive look inside its Trainium lab, a move that's certainly making waves. Tell us about this. What makes Trainium so significant, and why are major players like Anthropic, OpenAI, and even Apple reportedly interested?
This is a huge development, Arjav. Following Amazon's significant investment in OpenAI, AWS opened its doors to reveal the heart of its AI chip strategy, the Trainium Lab. Trainium is Amazon's custom-designed chip specifically for training large language models and other deep learning algorithms. The tour offered a rare glimpse into the complex engineering that goes into these accelerators, which are crucial for the computational demands of advanced AI. Its significance lies in its power efficiency and cost-effectiveness compared to off-the-shelf GPUs. For major AI developers like Anthropic and OpenAI, utilizing Trainium could mean lower operational costs and greater control over their infrastructure, while for a company like Apple, it signals a potential pivot towards more in-house AI chip development or at least leveraging specialized cloud infrastructure. It's a testament to Amazon's long-term commitment to owning foundational AI tech.
So, Amazon is not just a cloud provider. They're deeply invested in shaping the hardware that powers the AI future. This puts them in direct competition with giants like NVIDIA, whose recent conference, GTC, also made headlines. But, it seems Wall Street wasn't entirely convinced by NVIDIA's grand showcase. Why the skepticism, despite their undeniable dominance in AI chips?
That's right, Arjav. NVIDIA's GTC conference is usually a major event, a platform for unveiling new products and reaffirming their leadership. This year, they introduced their new Blackwell chip architecture, touted as a monumental leap for AI. However, Wall Street's reaction was somewhat muted. The concern isn't about NVIDIA's technology itself, which remains cutting edge. Instead, it seems to stem from broader market anxieties about a potential AI bubble and the sustainability of the current explosive growth in AI investments. Investors are looking for concrete signs of how these massive AI infrastructure outlays will translate into tangible, widespread revenue beyond the initial hardware sales. Despite this, industry insiders at the conference generally expressed confidence, believing the demand for AI infrastructure is real and enduring, not speculative. The disconnect highlights a fascinating tension between market sentiment and industry conviction.
An interesting perspective clash there. From the enterprise level to the individual developer, AI hardware continues to push boundaries. We also saw a fascinating story about pushing the limits of local AI processing, running a massive 397 billion parameter model on a Mac. That sounds almost impossible. How are developers achieving such feats, and what does it mean for accessibility to powerful AI?
It absolutely sounds like a miracle, Arjav, but developers are leveraging clever optimization techniques and efficient model architectures to make it a reality. The story highlights the FlashMo project, which demonstrates running a 397 billion parameter mixture of experts model, traditionally requiring significant server-grade hardware, on a consumer Mac with 48 gigabytes of RAM. The key here involves techniques like quantization, which reduces the precision of the model's weights to fit into less memory, and efficient memory management strategies. This is hugely significant because it lowers the barrier to entry for experimenting with and developing very large AI models. It democratizes access to powerful AI, moving it beyond cloud data centers into the hands of individual researchers and hobbyists, potentially fostering rapid innovation.
That's a game changer for independent developers. But as AI becomes more prevalent, we're seeing its impact on everything from compensation structures to creative industries. Let's talk about AI tokens as a new form of compensation. Is this truly the fourth pillar of engineering pay, or just another cost of doing business?
This is a hot topic, Arjav, especially in the competitive tech hiring landscape. Some startups and even larger companies are beginning to offer AI tokens as part of compensation packages, alongside salary, equity, and traditional bonuses. The idea is that these tokens would represent a share in the AI models or datasets an engineer helps develop, potentially appreciating in value as the AI product gains traction. While it sounds appealing, the article advises engineers to approach this with caution. It questions whether these tokens are genuinely a new form of wealth creation or simply a way for companies to defer cash compensation or offload risk. There's a lot of ambiguity around valuation, liquidity, and governance of these tokens. So, while it could become a significant part of compensation, engineers need to understand the fine print to ensure it's a true win and not just a speculative gamble.
A fascinating, and potentially complex, new frontier in employment. From compensation to creation, AI's role is sparking ethical debates. A major publisher, Hachette Book Group, recently pulled a horror novel titled Shy Girl, due to concerns about AI-generated text. What happened here, and what are the implications for the publishing world?
This incident, Arjav, is a stark reminder of the growing concerns around AI authorship and intellectual property in creative fields. Hachette Book Group decided not to publish Shy Girl after reportedly discovering evidence that artificial intelligence was used to generate significant portions of the text. The specific details of how this was detected haven't been fully disclosed, but it highlights the challenges publishers face in verifying originality and authenticity. The implications are enormous. It raises questions about fair compensation for human authors, the quality and originality of AI-generated content, and the potential for market saturation with cheap, algorithmically produced works. It sets a precedent that major publishers are taking these concerns seriously and are willing to take action to maintain standards and protect their brand.
Clearly, the line between human and machine creation is becoming blurrier and prompting difficult decisions. On a more practical note, AI is also being deployed to assist in everyday tasks. We're seeing a new tool called Revise, an AI editor for documents. How does this stand out, and what kinds of users is it targeting?
Revise is an interesting entry into the crowded space of AI-powered writing assistants, Arjav. Unlike basic grammar checkers, Revise aims to act as a more comprehensive AI editor for documents, going beyond simple proofreading to offer deeper structural and stylistic suggestions. While specifics aren't fully detailed in the summary, similar tools often leverage large language models to rephrase sentences, improve clarity, adjust tone, and even help with content generation within existing drafts. It targets professionals, academics, and anyone who regularly produces written content and seeks to improve its quality and efficiency. The key differentiator for any such tool is its ability to understand context and intent, providing suggestions that truly enhance rather than just alter the text, making it a valuable productivity booster.
So, AI is a collaborator rather than a replacement. We also saw a story about an individual using an LLM to brute force their algorithmic ignorance for a Google recruitment journey. What can we learn from this personal account?
This is a great example of practical, personal application of LLMs, Arjav. The article details an individual's journey to prepare for Google recruitment interviews, which notoriously involve complex algorithmic challenges. Instead of traditional study methods, they used a large language model to rapidly understand and solve various algorithmic problems. The brute forcing aspect implies repeatedly querying the LLM, breaking down complex problems, and iteratively learning concepts and solutions. What we learn is that LLMs can be incredibly effective personalized tutors and problem-solving aids, accelerating the learning process for highly technical subjects. It highlights their utility not just for content generation, but for knowledge acquisition and practical skill development, offering a powerful new approach to self-education in demanding fields.
A testament to the power of AI as a learning tool. Now, let's shift gears to the broader tech industry and some concerning reports. A compliance startup called Delve is facing serious accusations of misleading customers with fake compliance. What are the details here, and what does this mean for trust in the compliance tech space?
This is a significant story, Arjav, that strikes at the heart of trust and integrity in the tech industry. An anonymous Substack post has accused Delve, a compliance startup, of falsely convincing hundreds of customers they were compliant with various privacy and security regulations. The accusations suggest that Delve may have provided misleading assurances or inadequate solutions, potentially leaving its clients vulnerable to regulatory penalties or data breaches. If these allegations prove true, it's a huge blow to the credibility of compliance tech, designed to help businesses navigate complex legal landscapes. It underscores the critical need for transparency, rigorous validation, and ethical practices among startups, especially those operating in sensitive areas like data privacy and security.
Indeed, trust is paramount, particularly when dealing with critical compliance issues. And speaking of critical issues, let's turn our attention to an environmental and industrial debate, deep ocean mining. Policymakers are currently debating its necessity and safety. What's at stake here, and what are the core arguments for and against?
This is a complex and increasingly urgent global discussion, Arjav. Deep ocean mining involves extracting valuable minerals, like cobalt, manganese, and nickel, from the seabed, often at depths of thousands of meters. Proponents argue it's essential for meeting the rapidly growing demand for these materials, particularly for electric vehicle batteries and renewable energy technologies, reducing reliance on land-based mining, which often has significant environmental and social impacts. However, environmental groups and many scientists are vehemently against it. They warn of potentially catastrophic and irreversible damage to fragile deep-sea ecosystems, which are poorly understood and incredibly biodiverse. Policymakers are grappling with balancing resource needs against environmental protection, debating if current regulations are sufficient or if a moratorium on mining is necessary until more is known about its long-term effects.
A crucial debate with far-reaching consequences. From global policy, let's zoom into the world of software development. Developers are often battling what's known as JavaScript bloat. The article identifies three pillars of this issue. Can you elaborate on what these are and why they're such a challenge for web developers?
Absolutely, Arjav. JavaScript bloat is a persistent headache for web developers, leading to slower page loads, higher memory usage, and a generally less responsive user experience. The article identifies three primary culprits. First, dependency proliferation. Modern web projects often pull in countless third-party libraries and frameworks, each adding its own code, leading to large bundle sizes. Second, over-engineering and feature creep. Developers, and often product managers, can be tempted to add too many features or use overly complex solutions, even for simple tasks. This adds unnecessary code. And third, lack of awareness or tooling. Developers might not fully understand the impact of their choices on bundle size, or they might not utilize available tools to analyze and optimize their code effectively. Addressing these pillars requires a conscious effort towards minimalism, efficient development practices, and better tooling to keep web applications lean and fast.
So, it's a combination of ecosystem choices, development habits, and tool utilization. Sticking with development best practices, we also have a piece on common mistakes to avoid when creating system architecture diagrams. These diagrams are critical for communication, so what are some of the key pitfalls developers should watch out for?
System architecture diagrams are indeed vital for conveying complex technical designs clearly, Arjav, but they're often poorly executed. The article highlights several common mistakes. One is lack of consistent abstraction levels. Mixing high-level concepts with low-level details in the same diagram can confuse the audience. Another is omitting context or purpose. A diagram without a clear objective or explanation of what it's trying to show is often useless. Using ambiguous or inconsistent notation is another major issue, as it forces the viewer to guess what symbols mean. Finally, overloading a diagram with too much information makes it unreadable. The best diagrams are clear, focused, use standard conventions, and tell a specific story, serving as effective communication tools rather than just pretty pictures.
Clear and concise communication is key, even in diagramming. And speaking of programming paradigms, there's an interesting discussion surfacing, a case against Korean. For our listeners who might not be deep into functional programming, can you briefly explain what Korean is, and why some developers are now arguing against its widespread use?
Certainly, Arjav. Currying, in functional programming, is a technique where a function that takes multiple arguments is transformed into a sequence of functions, each taking a single argument. So, instead of backquote f backquote, you'd have backquote f backquote. The primary benefit is that it allows for partial application, creating specialized functions by pre-filling some arguments. However, the article making a case against it points out several potential downsides. These include reduced readability for those unfamiliar with the paradigm, increased boilerplate code in some languages, and debugging challenges due to the creation of multiple nested functions. For developers, it often comes down to a trade-off between the elegance and power of functional constructs like currying, and the practical concerns of maintainability, readability, and team familiarity, especially in larger, more diverse codebases. It's a reminder that not every powerful tool is right for every job.
A nuanced debate, as often happens in software design. Now, let's pivot to some fun and nostalgia in hardware. A project is underway to build an FPGA 3DFX Voodoo card using modern RTL tools. For those of us who remember the glory days of 3D gaming, this sounds fantastic. What's involved in this project, and what does it mean for retro hardware enthusiasts?
This is indeed a treat for anyone who remembers the pixelated glory of late 90s PC gaming, Arjav. The 3DFX Voodoo graphics cards were groundbreaking, essentially bringing affordable 3D acceleration to the home PC market and cementing their place in computing history. This project involves building an FPGA implementation of a 3DFX Voodoo, meaning recreating its entire hardware logic on a field-programmable gate array using modern register transfer-level tools. For retro enthusiasts, this is huge. It means potentially getting a fully functional, cycle-accurate replica of these iconic cards, not through emulation, but through hardware recreation. It preserves computing history, allows for easier integration with modern systems, and provides a platform for both education and pure nostalgic enjoyment, enabling old games to run exactly as they did on the original hardware, without relying on increasingly rare and fragile vintage cards.
That's a wonderful blend of old and new tech. Speaking of unique creations, Nintendo has unveiled a Not AI, Not a Game Toy. That's quite intriguing, especially from a company known for its gaming prowess. What is this mysterious toy, and what's Nintendo's angle here?
This is quintessential Nintendo, Arjav, often surprising us with unconventional products. The Not AI, Not a Game Toy refers to a recently revealed talking flower device. It's a small, decorative gadget that interacts with users through speech, but without the complex, generative AI capabilities we typically associate with AI devices today. It's also not a traditional video game. Nintendo's angle appears to be creating simple, charming, and perhaps even calming interactive experiences that don't rely on cutting-edge AI or traditional gaming mechanics. It speaks to their philosophy of making innovative, accessible entertainment that appeals to a broad audience, possibly aiming for a niche similar to their past Wii Fit or Nintendo Labo ventures, products that redefine what a toy or game can be.
Leave it to Nintendo to zag when everyone else zigs. And for something truly whimsical, there's a Show HN project called Crack, which turns your MacBook into a squeaky door. This sounds like pure fun. What's the idea behind this?
This one is definitely on the lighter side, Arjav. Crack is a macOS app described as turning your MacBook into a squeaky door. While the article is short, the concept is simple. It likely uses the laptop's speakers to emit realistic squeaking door sounds, possibly triggered by certain actions like opening, closing the lid, typing, or moving the mouse. It's a playful, novelty utility, born out of the Hacker News community's Show HN segment, where developers share small, interesting projects. It's not groundbreaking tech, but it's a good example of how developers apply their skills to create entertaining, sometimes quirky, experiences that simply bring a smile to people's faces. Pure digital mischief.
A little levity is always welcome. Now, for something a bit more awe-inspiring. A miracle from space. Europe has reconnected with a lost spacecraft. Tell us about this incredible feat of engineering and perseverance.
This is a truly remarkable story, Arjav, a testament to the incredible engineering behind space missions. Europe's space agency, ESA, has managed to reconnect with a lost spacecraft after a significant period of silence. While the specifics of the mission and the duration of the disconnection are detailed in the full article, the fact that they re-established contact is nothing short of a miracle. Spacecraft can go silent for various reasons: power issues, antenna misalignment, system malfunctions, and recovering them often involves complex troubleshooting, sending blind commands, and precise celestial mechanics. This successful reconnection allows for the continuation of its scientific mission or at least valuable data recovery, a huge triumph for the ground control teams, demonstrating immense dedication and ingenuity.
An amazing comeback. And finally, a project focused on preserving knowledge for the long term. Project Nomad aims to create knowledge that never goes offline. What's the vision behind this, and how does it plan to achieve such an ambitious goal?
Project Nomad is a fascinating and crucial initiative, Arjav, addressing the fragility of digital information in an increasingly online world. Its vision is to create a decentralized and resilient system for knowledge preservation, ensuring that important information remains accessible even if central servers fail, websites go offline, or geopolitical events disrupt internet access. While the specifics of its technical implementation would be in the full article, such projects typically leverage distributed ledger technologies, peer-to-peer networks, and robust archiving methods to store and replicate data across multiple independent nodes globally. The goal is to build a kind of digital library that is immune to single points of failure, making knowledge truly offline-proof and perpetually available for future generations. It's about securing our collective intellectual heritage.
A vital undertaking for the digital age. And speaking of digital heritage, just a quick note before we wrap up, we actually touched on it in the intro. It's been 20 years since the first tweet, marking two decades since Jack Dorsey's simple, "just setting up my Twitter," message initiated a revolution in real-time communication. A perfect reminder of how quickly technology evolves and reshapes our world. And that brings us to the close of another insightful edition of Tech News Briefing. Before we sign off, here's a fun fact that might surprise you. The very first webcam, developed at Cambridge University in 1991, wasn't for video calls or security. Its sole purpose was to monitor a coffee pot in the Trojan room, allowing researchers to see if the pot was empty without having to physically check, saving them a wasted trip. Talk about early IoT and convenience. From revolutionary AI chips and ethical dilemmas to retro hardware revivals and digital preservation, it's clear the tech world never stands still. Thank you, Arohi, for guiding us through these compelling stories today.
My pleasure, Arjav. Always a pleasure to share these developments.
And thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. I'm Arjav, and we look forward to bringing you more essential tech insights next time. Have a fantastic day.